The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Hey, Chris, my husband and I really enjoy your show. Thanks for doing what you do.
Hi, Chris, I love the show.
You're just breaking rules all over the place.
Thank you very, very much for your sane reasoning and conversation.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Well, 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 how are you doing on this Tuesday edition? I welcome you in to what appears to be, whether they'll admit it or not, real worry in California. I continue to read this differently than everybody else is telling you this morning, which is, of course, why you're here and why I'm here. And I'm glad you are, because I'm not going to say that Larry Elder is going to be the next governor of California today. I'm not going to say that I know for a fact Gavin Newsom is going to be recalled today. I don't know these things for a fact. I'm not going to bet my life on them or anything. But the reaction to what should be a non-news event being a news event, and the reaction to it, which seems kind of over the top, tells me that this has the chance to be a real upset. First of all, I told you yesterday, and I continue to believe this is true, you do not send Grandpa on his first out-of-time-zone visit, multiple time zones, West Coast time zone. I mean, that's, you know, three time zones away from Grandpa. You don't send him to California unless you're worried, because they haven't for much bigger things. They don't send him out. And when they do, they say, is he back, by the way? Do we know Fast Eddie? He didn't stay overnight. I'm sure they got him back. Was he back in Wilmington? I never heard whether he ended up staying in California or not. Typically, when presidents have gone out west in the past, they make it overnight stays. But with Grandpa, remember, he needs the familiarity of home, and so I tend to believe they probably figured out how to get him back right away. I mean, he's got the ability to sleep there on the plane, so I'm sure he did. You know, they don't want to startle him and wake him in unfamiliar surroundings. But here's just one headline. It's funny. Just minutes before we came on air here, I came across this headline at Yahoo News. This is, again, the kind of news source that people who get their news on their phones and do no other reading than what pops up in their news aggregate sites on, you know, Apple or Yahoo. These are people that, you know, they pay attention to the news only to the extent that they feel they've got to, just for water cooler talk, so to speak, not because they actually pay attention to real issues. Maybe they vote. Probably not. Yahoo News. With Newsom poised to win California recall. Okay, so that's, first of all, there's already an assumption that he's got it in the bag. I heard all this reporting yesterday, all of a sudden, and it was literally all of a sudden. It has not been consistent. It has not been daily. It has not been. They've been watching this recall effort in California and worried about it for a long time. And Democrats have been writing stories. Politico, The Hill, we've brought you these stories for weeks. They've been worried and wringing their hands about Democrat apathy and that Republicans could be really fired up and could really turn this thing. And not even for Larry Elder. I don't even mean so much about who wins as much as I'm talking about who is recalled, and that's Gavin Newsom. There's a seething disdain and hatred for this guy out there. Now, there are a lot of Californians who are talking about having some problems at the polls already. Mail-in voting is a magical thing, and California is probably the king of the mail-in vote. And I'm hearing from a lot of people, and I'm reading a lot of reports that people have gone to vote in California, and shocker, surprise, they've already voted. Wink. And yesterday, all of a sudden, there was this preponderance of news stories and talking heads that said, oh, Newsom's got it in the bag. Oh, yeah, it's over before it even started. Boy, they're awfully confident. And now the headline today, Larry Elder refuses to accept results. Where does that, doesn't that sound familiar? Sounds very, very Trumpian. And good for him, he shouldn't. Why would you ever commit to accepting anything? There's already talk of perhaps massive fraud out there. So why accept anything on the Democrats' terms? This question of, hey, when we rig this thing, when we get our way, since we've already declared that Newsom's going to win and you don't stand a shot, even though we've not said any such thing until the last 24 hours. But now that we've figured out, we think we've got this safely locked up and we've got people voting before they've actually voted. Will you accept the outcome of this election? And any smart person would say in this environment, yeah, no, I'm not going to commit to accepting anything until I can verify it for myself. That's just that is a standard answer in today's politics that should always be given. Now, of course, Democrats can say it and get away with it. Republicans say it and immediately they're deniers of, you know, facts and democracy and all this rot. You know, but if a Republican wins in a surprise upset, it's got to be Russia. It had to have been hijacked by foreign interests and, you know, wing nuts on the Internet. But the headline today at Yahoo News, with Newsom poised to win California recall. So that's half. They've already declared him the winner. But get ready for this. Now, this is the biggest laugher of them all. They say that Newsom is poised to win because, are you ready for this, Fast Eddie?
Always.
It's another indication COVID politics may be starting to favor Democrats over Republicans. The state of California has so warmly embraced COVID politics. They so love Gavin Newsom and they so love Democrats' handling of COVID. They would now make the argument that the state is warming up. Just like Pennsylvania is warming up to Wolf. Didn't we just warm up to Wolf in May with our constitutional amendments on question one and two? Was that Pennsylvania warming up to Democrat politics on COVID, do you think? Or was that the opposite?
Oh, no, that's already been deterred by leftists as just saying that, it's a low turnout election. That's why it happened.
Well, low turnout means what? Apathy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can't, I mean, that's just idiotic. I mean, whoever would say that that's an indicator of something is an idiot. Because saying that it's a low turnout election is saying nobody, at bare minimum, the best you can say about a low turnout election is nobody cares. And if nobody cares, then you're not on the winning side, dope. Like you don't get to say there's no support for a Republican position on COVID, and then say, well, it was a low turnout election. Okay, and that's exactly what Democrats are worried about. They saw what happened in Pennsylvania. I'm convinced of it. They saw that the mobilization effort was behind Republicans, and it was behind small business owners who weren't even Republicans. You know, people like Dave McGrogan and other Democrats who said, I thought that my party was for the working class. I thought they were about keeping kids in school. And instead, they're keeping my kids out of school and they're keeping my kids behind masks and they're keeping my kids, you know, isolated and behind computer screens and they're keeping my small business closed. They're ruining my life. They're not for me. So you had a lot of Democrats turn. Working class Democrats vote on this constitutional amendment to rein in executive authority and power in Pennsylvania. I can promise you that that election in May, where you and I turned out and said yes on constitutional amendment 1 and 2 to limit this governor's executive authority as a Democrat during COVID, a year into it, that sent shockwaves. And so they're trying to tell themselves this story that Gavin Newsom is popular and that people love him and adore him and they're so happy with the way Democrats are handling COVID. That is bunk. There is not a poll that suggests it's true. They just say it to tell themselves it's true. Newsom poised to win California recall, another indication COVID politics may be starting to favor... How in the world you can tell yourself that in this environment is beyond me. Particularly given what Biden just did last week in rolling out with this fake unconstitutional mandate that he didn't mean. The latest numbers from California paint a clear picture of where things stand, and Newsom is looking strong. You know who they cite? 538, the Nate Silver Oracle poll, where he Nate Silver is one of the most partisan and consistently wrong pollsters. Nate Silver, for instance, predicted Hillary's triumphant victory in 2016. In early August, 538's California average of recall polls showed an even split between voters who wanted to keep Newsom in office and voters who wanted to remove him. But few firms were polling the race at that point. Yeah, that's right. It was even when there weren't many people paying attention, but now everybody's paying attention and everybody, all the polls are involved. And now there's an average of polls out there that say, oh, Newsom's fine. Everything's just fine. If everything's just fine, you don't send the Democrat geriatric to California. You don't do it. There's no need. That's a waste of time. You're sending the relatively newly elected geriatric, the visiting angels patient. You're sending him out to California in the middle of an excrement storm to save a Democrat in a deeply blue state? That's like sending Joe Biden to New Jersey. Would you stop and think about this for a minute? You know, Phil Murphy is up for re-election in New Jersey. I bet you they don't send Joe Biden to New Jersey. Now, if they do, you know what that means? Cittarelli is coming on hard. And I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers in New Jersey, so I have no idea. Maybe that will happen. But if Joe Biden shows up in New Jersey, Phil Murphy's in trouble. That's what I can promise you. And if Joe Biden is showing up in California, Gavin Newsom's in trouble. I don't believe this stuff for a second. These stories are all of a sudden, after all of the reading and all of the stories that I've brought you over the weeks, that there's trouble in California for Democrats, that and Biden is sent out there. Now suddenly, oh no, it's a lock, it's a slam dunk, it's Newsom's in a walk, he's not even going to forget it. Every polling firm that showed a close contest during the August doldrums now shows keep Newsom ahead of remove Newsom. August doldrums? So there were polling firms showing it a close contest in August during the, quote, doldrums. But now keeping Newsom is ahead by double digits. More voters say COVID is the most important issue facing the state than anything else. Mm-hmm. Those numbers mirror national trends, says Yahoo News. This is what they tell themselves. Majorities of Americans have consistently said they approve of how Biden has handled the pandemic, according to this poll, giving him higher marks than other issues, and showed that just 41% of Americans blame the Biden administration for the new surge of COVID in the United States versus 67% who blame Americans who refuse to wear masks and take other precautions, and 66% who blame unvaccinated Americans. So you see why Biden is so keen to be seen wearing masks again? Of course, you understand why now Joe Biden and his Secret Service detail and everybody involved with Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, testified from a Zoom call. He's in Washington yesterday, and he testified over Zoom to a congressional meeting in Washington. All they have is COVID, and they tell themselves that this country has an appetite for it. Now, yes, there is a chunk of this country who has a tremendous appetite for it. It's true. The base of the Democrat Party wants to be owned lock, stock, and barrel. I have never seen, politically, I've never, ever seen in my life voters who actively vote for people they want to use them like they're in an S&M sex dungeon. But Democrat voters have this weird fetish. And I don't know if you know a Democrat who thinks like this. Perhaps you can call and enlighten me what it is. What is the fetish, and that's what I'll call it, a political fetish that says, rule me, daddy. Rule me with an iron fist. Tell me what to do. I'm scared, and I need big daddy to take care of me. Is it a parenting issue? Is it a mommy-daddy thing? What is it with a Democrat voter who would get excited and enthusiastic about someone telling them what to wear on their face and how to submit themselves and their children? What is that? What is the makeup of a person who enthusiastically votes for someone and then gives them total authority over their lives? Seriously, is it an S&M thing? Is it a sexual repression thing, Fast Eddie? Maybe I shouldn't get into the psychology of it here, but I think it's worth exploring. What is the makeup of someone who's an enthusiastic backer of a party that wants to tell you what to do with every moment of your day, every move you make, every dime you earn? What is it? I don't believe that's most Americans, though. What I'm telling you is I still don't believe most of us are that. I think there's a healthy chunk of us. I know it's the Democrat base, and I know it's all they've got. They don't have anything else to show for anything they've done. They have no success to point to. None. They don't want to talk about the border. They don't want to talk about Afghanistan, certainly, and that debacle. We just handed them $64 million. Did you hear that?
Huh.
We just gave Afghanistan $64 million in aid. And Anthony Blinken says yesterday in testimony, we expect that the Taliban will ensure freedom of travel. This is a direct quote. We expect the Taliban will ensure travel and make good on commitments on counterterrorism and uphold the basic rights of the Afghan people involving women, girls, and minority. It's such a joke. Everything about the Democrats is a total joke. AOC last night at the Met Gala, the most opulent of opulent events in the country, $48,000 a ticket, Fast Eddie. You have that laying around?
Not this week, no.
$48,000 a ticket to the Met Gala. Mask-free, by the way. Not wearing a mask. You know what's on her dress? You've probably seen it or heard about it by now. Look, I do think... I'll give her this. I find AOC annoying. I can't stand a word that comes out of her mouth. But she's a striking lady. I think she's an attractive lady. I'll give her that. And she looked quite beautiful in this white dress at the Met Gala last night. Somebody gave AOC a ticket, or she found a $48,000 ticket. I presume she didn't pay for it for herself. Maybe she did. I don't know. Wouldn't you like to know who paid the $48,000 for to get to the event? And then, of all things, they rub it in your face by wearing a... She wears a dress that says on this beautiful white dress, tax the rich. I mean, this is... The irony dripping from these hypocrites. A $48,000 a head event, the most opulent of opulent events, and you're wearing a dress that says tax the rich, and you're not wearing a mask while you demand that working class men and women and their children strap masks on their face? While working class men and women who are trying to run businesses can't bring people back to work because the government is still paying people to sit out? And she's at a $48,000 a head event?
When Aurora and I were first kind of partnered, we really started having a conversation about what it means to be working class women of color at the Met. And we said, you know, we can't just play along, but we need to break the fourth wall and challenge some of the institutions. And you know, while the Met is known for its spectacle, we should have a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm. So what do they have? I mean, if the GOP was worth a damn, these people make ads out of themselves every day. I mean, every single day in multiple ways, these people are making ready-made, tailor-made ads for GOP opposition. They have nothing. What they do have is utter hypocrisy. And so what do they cling to? The only thing they've got, the one thing their base loves and needs, because they're S&M weird sex dungeon domination cravers. Mask me, daddy. Mask me harder. That's the Democrat base. They need it. And Biden knows the polling and the Democrats know the polling. And so that's why they show up and they screech and scream about masking. And you've got outlets like Yahoo News reporting that that's why Newsom's going to win a second term. They love how he governs them. Oh, they love how he locks them down. They love how he masks them up. They love it. Fires are burning in California because of deforestation mismanagement. That's been proven true over and over again. They have not used proper forestry management. That's why these fires are burning out of control. And what does Biden do? He shows up and he claims, of course, it's climate change. And then he says that kids in California suffer a double threat. The dangerous fires from climate change and, of course, COVID. And that's why the masks are so critical. And he said at one point, and I'm not kidding, he said, I'm not kidding. You know, the forest fires are out there. These kids, you know, they got to worry about COVID and they got to worry about the smoke. And I just, you know what I thought to myself? Actually, if they were wearing a mask that was worth a damn, you wouldn't smell the smoke. That's the whole point of wearing a mask. Michael Osterholm's the guy who famously said, you can smell the smoke here in Michigan from the forest fires burning out west. That's how stupid and ineffective masks are. Biden's literally out there telling people that the forest fires and COVID are equally threatening, and that's why you should strap a mask on your face. It doesn't add up. All I'm saying is, I'm not telling you that California and Democrats aren't going to figure out a way to pad this and make sure Newsom wins today. I don't know. I'm not making any predictions. All I'm telling you is this is not the behavior of a confident press. It's not the behavior of a confident Biden or Democrat party. They are freaked out, which is why it's all hands on deck, and they're screaming and screaming and screaming about COVID. It's all they've got to gin up their base. This weird fetish that Democrats have to be ruled with an iron fist on COVID. I don't get it, but that's all they've got, and so that's where we are. Telephone number 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're off to the races on this Tuesday. Thanks for being here on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. When I woke up this morning on the wrong side of the bed, see the top tax rates for Democrats if they get their way on this new proposal, the new tax rate proposal, which I got a story here in front of me today. House Democrats take step back from Biden on tax hikes. House Democrats Monday releasing tax increase legislation that scales back some of President Biden's key proposals. The Drudge Report, which has gone decidedly, well, they were decidedly never Trump. And I'm not entirely sure who runs or owns or operates Drudge. They claim it's still Matt Drudge owned and operated. I'm not so sure. You want to talk about a site that looks like it kind of got overhauled and hacked by communist China. It was them. I don't go to Drudge much anymore, but I did note a headline yesterday. You ready for this? That this proposal, this tax proposal by Democrats, the tax rate is higher than communist China. You guys in New Jersey, the combined state and federal top tax rates under this new proposal, 57.2%. In New York, it's worse, 61.2%. California, 59.7% combined state and local federal taxes under this new proposal. The bill released Monday by the House Ways and Means Committee includes a variety of tax increases targeted at wealthy individuals and corporations in an effort to help pay for the $3.5 trillion in spending and tax cuts in areas such as child care, climate, and health care. But in many ways, it is not as aggressive in raising taxes as Biden had proposed. Yes, it's reasonable. And this is art of the deal stuff. This is what Trump knew so well. You shoot for the moon and then you say, okay, I'll come off of that. That's reasonable. You know, I'd like a steak dinner with a potato and a salad and I'm not giving. I'd like a lobster tail. Surf and turf, please. Yeah, well, I'll give you one or the other, but I'm not going to give you both steak and a lobster tail. Okay. You're still going to have a fine meal. Anyway, our buddy Steve Moore from FreedomWorks will be with us at 8:30, as he is every Tuesday, to discuss the particulars in this thing and how likely he thinks it is. You know, as usual, Joe Manchin is at least one Senate Democrat who looks like he's going to back off of it. We'll see. Meanwhile, something interesting happening in Harrisburg. I will tell you that I think this suggests to me that Democrats, again, do not want to have a conversation publicly or draw any more attention to election 2020 than they have to. And so in an attempt to avoid that, to continue to make the focus COVID, to make sure nobody's talking about anything but COVID, let's make 100% certain we don't put ourselves. See, Democrats are always thinking ahead. I have to give them credit where credit is due. The Democrats always anticipate where the news cycle may go. They're always in front of everything. You understand that at all times they're controlling what people are talking about? Hey, look over here. That's why last week, I told you yesterday, when Biden comes out and he says, I want everybody in masks, and I'm gonna make OSHA tell everybody that has 100 employees or less to wear masks. And a lot of you, don't misunderstand, I don't mean to pick on you, but a lot of you wigged out. You just got terrified and you got panicked and you got mad. And I understand it, believe me, because we are an increasingly totalitarian existence where Democrats seem to, as I said, celebrate this S&M dominatrix thing over their lives. Democrat voters love to be dominated by their politicians. They love it. They crave it. They want more of it all the time. It's really weird. I don't know if it's a bondage thing. I don't know. I mean, it's not my bag, but it's what they love. They love to be chained and whipped and told what to do. They love to be put in slavery. And so, I know that they would rather talk about anything to do with COVID over any other issue, like, let's say, what happened in Pennsylvania. Where in 2020, we all understand, regardless of what you think of voting machines, regardless of what you think about ballot counting, ballot harvesting, drop boxes, all of those things I think highly questionable, despite what you think about any of that, what we know is the Constitution was violated massively in Pennsylvania. There's no question, there's no doubt about it. In fact, dozens of states across the country and their attorneys general agreed Pennsylvania was gross. We were the worst. Without a doubt, it's not even close. Pennsylvania was objectionable in every way when it came to constitutional violations in the 2020 election. We were disgusting. We were a national affront to the United States Constitution, on display for all to see. I'm not talking about Arizona ballot counting. I'm not talking about Nevada or Georgia, Michigan or Wisconsin, all places that had really questionable ballot counting, really questionable and objectionable behaviors as it related to drop boxes, ballot harvesting, illegal voting, people, you know, double voting, all that stuff. No, we're talking about a constitutional violation. That is the executive branch of the Pennsylvania government dictating the terms of the way an election should go, and the judicial branch of Pennsylvania endorsing it, even though the Constitution clearly states legislatures in each respective state across the country make the rules on elections, nobody else. Well, we didn't do that. And so we have this woman, Veronica DeGraffenried, who has been acting Secretary of State once Frau Buchwar resigned. And she was supposed to be formally confirmed by the Senate, controlled by who? The Republicans, of course. The Republicans control the Senate in Harrisburg. What does Tom Wolf know would happen to his acting Secretary of State if she showed up, this DeGraffenried woman, if she showed up for hearings to be confirmed as the next Secretary of the Commonwealth? What would happen? What would the hearings be about?
Well, they'd be about the 2020 election.
That's exactly right. And what do you think Republicans would ask DeGraff and Reed? What kinds of questions would she be asked if she's called to testify in hearings before her confirmation?
Well, she'd probably be asked why the voter rolls weren't turned over when they were subpoenaed. Why she threatened the counties that were asked to submit their voter rolls. And just said no, and said, if you do this, then we're going to decertify your machine. So why would you do it? Why would you take an action like that?
That's exactly right, Fast Eddie. You're good. You've been paying attention to the show. Well done. This DeGraff and Reed woman is the person who came in after Frau Buchvar and told these counties, don't you dare allow the legislature to audit your elections, because if you do, I will punish you. Now, do you think that Tom Wolf and this DeGraff and Reed person want that kind of attention and that kind of scrutiny? Of course, they do not. Do you think the Democrats want to relitigate and continue to discuss 2020? They do not. So how do you avoid that? Well, you do what Herr Wolf just did yesterday, and you say, I'm not going to nominate her. I'm just going to continue to allow her to be acting Secretary of the Commonwealth. Clever. And so when you allow somebody to just be acting Secretary of the Commonwealth, you don't have to subject them to hearings because they're just acting. But of course, they have all the power. They have the full power to punish a county for submitting their materials from the elections to the Senate. The acting Secretary of the Commonwealth has the full power to punish them to decertify their election equipment. So acting, I would love to read the Constitution of Pennsylvania. I don't know who might have an opinion on this, but do acting executive branch members not certified by the legislature have the authority to decertify a county's election equipment? That's a pretty powerful thing to be. I mean, folks, what I'm telling you is this is again Democrats in Pennsylvania subverting the legislative branch of Pennsylvania, run by Republicans again. This is unprecedented. I don't think this is going on anywhere in the country. Republicans are the prison bitch of Democrats in Pennsylvania every time. I can't get beyond it. Every time I think Democrats have completely exhausted any possibility of going around Republicans, they impress me and they do it again. And Republicans just sit there like, oh, I don't know. We're powerless to stop it.
Corman say? Elections have consequences.
Yeah, elections have consequences. He's fine with it, by the way. He thinks this is all perfectly normal. Now, I know he issued a statement yesterday on this. Our friend Jake Corman, probably his one and only visit a couple of weeks ago to the show. Don't know if you heard that. I'm still getting emails about that exchange, by the way.
We had it on Best Of.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
We did some Best Of with Jake Corman interview. All right. Well, I have to say, I don't think it was out of line. I re-listened to it myself because I like to audit myself. You know, am I unfair? Am I unreasonable? I don't think anything I said was unfair or unreasonable, nor did I make it a personality thing. I didn't go after him about Mastriano and he and Mastriano and their little spat, because I don't care about their lover's quarrel. I'm not interested in the GOP of Pennsylvania. I find them all dullards and largely worthless. And whatever their petty little petulant back channel fighting is all about doesn't matter to me. You're who I care about, not these jackasses in Harrisburg. So if they can't get their excrement together, I don't care. I'm not invested in Corman or Mastriano. I really don't care. I want the job done. So I went back and I listened to that. I pressed him. I said, do you understand what you're up against, Senator Corman? Do you understand Democrat opposition? Do you understand what they're about? Do you understand they don't respect you? Do you understand that? And what you heard in that interview and what so many of you responded to was his unwillingness or his inability. I don't know if you want to call it obtuse. I don't know if you want to call it denial. I don't know if you want to call him one of them. Maybe it's all of it. Maybe it's some of it. I don't know. All I know for sure is he refused to define his political enemy. He thinks Democrats are just dandy. He doesn't think there's much difference between them at all. Elections have consequences, and these are good, well-meaning people. Are they, Senator Cormann? Because at every turn, you continue to get rolled. You continue to get bamboozled, embarrassed. There's a constant game of end-around going on with Republicans who have total control of the most powerful branch of the three in Pennsylvania. That's you. You run it, and yet somehow you're always cut out of the game. You're Charlie Brown with the football every time. And so the acting Secretary of State and the governor and the Attorney General and the Supreme Court, they just work around you like you're not even there. And I would think, again, this goes back to my S&M theme of this morning's show, I would think that these people would not like to be humiliated and emasculated. I would think that if I held a very powerful, prestigious position and I ran a third of the government, in theory, the 800-pound gorilla of government, and that is the legislative branch because they are the power of the purse, they are historically the most powerful branch, with checks and balances made by the judiciary and the executive. Yes, that's true. But the late Justice Scalia is the guy who kind of refreshed my memory on that, because I have come up in an era where the legislative branch has been rendered largely meaningless and impotent. I've come up in an era where House Republicans in Washington and House and Senate Republicans in our state's capitals largely act like a bunch of listless, apathetic, obtuse losers. Even when they're in total control, I've not known what it is to see Republican legislators flex their muscle. I've seen, and you've seen, Democrats flex their muscle. You're seeing it now. They know what to do with power. They crave it. They're on a constant mission for it. And when they do acquire it, they use it lustfully. Republicans? They have total control, and what do they do? Why, our good friends across the aisle don't mean us any harm. Why, I'm sure it'll be fine. Everything will work out. Duh. Just stupid, dopey, lazy nobodies. So, Jake Cormann issues a statement yesterday. There are many legitimate questions about the performance of the Department of State over the past year. They failed to properly advertise a constitutional amendment to provide relief to sexual assault victims. They removed critical voter security measures in the lead-up to the 2020 general election. They released confusing and contradictory guidance and clarifications up to the night of the election. They inserted misleading language into ballot questions for constitutional amendments, and they have administered recent elections in a way that is deeply partisan. If we turn a blind eye to these colossal failures, we would not be doing the job our constituents elected us to do. The State Senate Government Committee and the Senate Intergovernmental Operations Committee scheduled several hearings to answer questions related to these controversies. We have the constitutional responsibility to provide advice and consent, not to be a rubber stamp for the administration. There would not be a need for many of these hearings if they did their jobs fairly and honestly. Furthermore, only one entity has threatened counties, and it is the Wolf administration. Instead of acknowledging the authority of the legislature to provide oversight over our elections, they threatened counties with the loss of millions of dollars if they participated in any Senate investigation. Governor Wolf has recalled the acting secretary's nomination, but we are under no obligation to honor that request. The acting secretary's threats against counties and her refusal to participate in bipartisan election hearings will be considered by the Senate Republican caucus as we plan how to proceed with her nomination. So, okay, this is a fine statement he's crafted. It's a very well-crafted statement. But again, as we plan how to proceed with her nomination, her refusal, Wolf's refusal to participate in bipartisan election hearings will be considered. We are under no obligation to honor the acting secretary recall. So basically, if you're following this, the procedure is Wolf nominates this woman formally to become Secretary of the Commonwealth. He then withdraws it, and the Republicans, Cormann is claiming here, don't have to accept that. They say, no. If you're going to serve as Secretary of the Commonwealth, then we aren't going to be a rubber stamp. We will, he claims now, do you believe the Republicans are made of this stuff? He claims they will summon her, that she will be ostensibly forced to come to hearings and own up to her job performance. That's their claim.
I don't doubt that they will take that action, but I would be willing to bet you a cup of coffee that she will not show up.
Yeah, and then what do they do? And so let's walk it out. That's what these asses don't do. So then what? And so when they don't, then what? Why do we do this stupid, on the last episode of the Republicans in Harrisburg, they summoned a Graffenried. Find out next week. Will de Graffenried come? Well, we all know. No, she's not coming. On the last episode of de Graffenried, Republicans summoned. Now she won't show. Next week, what will Republicans do? Tune in to find. No, like, have a freaking game plan. Game it out. Think a couple of steps ahead, idiots. What are you going to do? Have a plan. Grow a set.
I don't think our friends across the aisle are acting in good faith. This may not work out in our favor, duh.
Fetish stuff is creeping him out that I should stop. Bill, that's the point. I'm reading Twitter this morning. You can tweet at me. At Christico, that's my point. It is creepy. I mean to be creepy. I'm purposely being provocative to be creepy. It is weird to me that there is a constituency in this country that elects people to dominate them. I find that creepy. That it is meant to be creepy. You see, I'm a master at communicating and making people feel things. That's what I do for a living. You're supposed to be creeped out by it. It's objectionable behavior is the point.
Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. This is Dennis Prager, middays 1 to 3. Grab a cup of coffee for the ride in. You're listening to Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle.
Bill McSwain made it official in Pennsylvania yesterday. Running for governor, he tweets, to make our great state freer, safer, and more prosperous. I hope you'll join me. So what does that make now? How many official? I forget. I lose count of who's running in Pennsylvania. You have, Joe, of course, Joe Gale is running from Montgomery County. Lou Barletta is running. Yeah. You don't remember either. It's always a bad day when Fast Eddie and I both stare at each other like deer in the headlights, and Eddie gives me the blinking stare because he doesn't remember either. And that's, by the way, not a good sign for the GOP. I have to, like, the worst news is when I can remember the slate of Senate candidates in Pennsylvania, but I'm having a hard time remembering who's officially running for governor of the Commonwealth. That's not good. But anyway, look, McSwain's a fine guy and an impressive guy. I don't know ultimately how he ends up doing. We'll see. And I doubt he's probably the last to get in. I just have a funny feeling. So we will we'll try to get Bill on the show and talk with him about his plans and why he's ultimately decided to run coming up. Christian Toto is just around the corner. We're going to talk about Howard Stern, Jimmy Kimmel, Bill Maher, and all the leftists in comedy that used to be counterculture. At least they pretended they used to be counterculture. Now they seem to be, except Bill, to be fair. Bill Maher is one of the few that hasn't, but particularly Howard Stern. You guys in Philadelphia that were fans of him, I don't know what happened to him. He has totally derailed and embraced.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for everything you do.
You have been the guy when it comes to truth and sincerity.
Love the podcast.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
It is always a pleasure to be with my great friend Christian Toto at Hollywood in Toto, the go-to guy, as far as I'm concerned, for all matters entertainment through the prism of people who are sane in their politics as well. He likes entertainment first. That's what I always like to say about Christian. He doesn't really come at this to be political.
But he is one of those guys that looks at entertainment and acknowledges that it has been swallowed whole by politics and calls balls and strikes. So that's what I appreciate so much about him. And, you know, particularly because I, too, valued entertainment for a long time. I still do. I just, there's such a dearth of it. And the voices, particularly those voices that were in comedy, those voices that used to be counterculture, have now turned so shockingly pro-government and pro-authoritarianism. It's eerie, actually, in its own sad, weird way. And he's back to break it down with us. He's, by the way, author of a new book that you can pre-order right now at Amazon called Virtue Bombs, How Hollywood Got Woke and Lost Its Soul. He's Christian Toto at Hollywood and Toto. Christian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I think I want to steal your swallowed whole by politics, because I don't think you could phrase it any better than that. It's, and again, you and I are kind of a similar background. We love Hollywood and entertainment, but yeah, it's swallowed. I mean, it is digested, it is regurgitated, and that's what we get now.
I don't know what to make really of it. If it's strictly money, if it's there are two different stories in front of me that bother me deeply. One is less surprising than the other. I guess I'll start with the less surprising one, which is Jimmy Kimmel, who says, this is a guy who cried about his son and the heart and Obamacare and the whole thing. He's now doing using his monologue to say people who aren't vaccinated shouldn't be given ICU beds, should be refused medical treatment. It doesn't surprise me because he's such a partisan, but it's so creepy. I just want to say, do you hear yourself, man?
Yeah, you know, you wish there is someone in his life who could maybe kind of whisper in his ear. It's Adam Carolla, but I suspect that the two of them, their longstanding friendship is based on not getting anywhere near politics. Just a guess, don't know them personally, but he would be maybe a guy or the guy to say, listen, do you understand what you're saying? Do you get the ramifications? You know, and then, listen, you can be on Twitter for 8 seconds and say, well, what if you had unprotected sex and caught a disease? What if you ate too much, you smoked too much, you drank too much? Do we shut all those people out? I mean, listen, there are many ways we can protect ourselves and many ways we don't. But coming at it from that perspective is just, it's creepy and cruel. And I think it reminds me of, I have a friend and she is a delight. I really like her. She's fun to talk to. I'll hang out with her anytime and we'll get into debates, and she's very left of center and we often don't go there. And I trust her. I trust her with my kids. When I see her on social media, she's vicious and cruel often. And I think that's what's happening with late nights, or maybe just with comedians in general, is that they see this as performative, as a way to kind of be super tribal. They are super tribal. And I don't think they're thinking it through, like, what does this truly mean? They just like it. It feels good to say it. I think it feels great for Jimmy Kimmel to say things like this.
Do you remember what I mean when he was talking about his son with the heart defect?
Oh, yeah,
and how
course.
Grateful
yeah, yeah.
they were about Obamacare? Yeah. I mean, weeping about it.
But here's the thing about woke, and you could say that Jimmy Kimmel's woke, most entertainers today are woke. It sounds kind of wonderful, like we don't want to hurt people. We want to be kind. We want to kind of make up for the injustices that we've done to people in the past and often in the present. Like, those are good things. They don't mean it. Woke and this whole attitude is about power. It's not about being kind to other people, because if it was, Jimmy Kimmel wouldn't say that. He's not trying to be kind. He's trying to be vicious.
Yes.
He's trying to bolster his side, which makes Bill Maher, who I'm sure we've talked about in the past, so interesting, because he's not going down that exact path. And he said over the weekend, like, the reason why I keep turning on the left is because the left has gone insane. And, you know, you can put this Jimmy Kimmel screed right into that insane category. It's sad.
And then there's Howard Stern, a guy that particularly people on the East Coast knew. Howard Stern was not, as I grew up as a kid, Howard Stern was not in the Midwest, or at least in the Kansas City metropolitan area where I broadcast when I was a kid and where I grew up listening to radio as a kid. But I know, you know, for instance, in Philadelphia, my home base for the radio station, Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. But people who listen to the podcast, Howard Stern may not have been readily available to everybody, but certainly here on the East Coast, he was everywhere. He was prolific. And I mean, he kind of got his, you know, if you want to say almost, I won't say syndication launch in Philadelphia, but he has ties to this town very specifically in Philadelphia. And I know people today that still adore him and love him because they have such a romanticism about what a rebel he was of that era in radio. And so to hear him say, When are we going to stop putting up with these idiots in this country and say it's mandatory to get vaccinated? F them, F their freedom. I want my freedom to live. I want to get out of the house already. I want to go next door and play chess. I want to go take some pictures. This is bull excrement. The counterculture guy, the anti-authoritarian, the anti-FCC guy is now cheering federal mandates for individuals to take a medicine. This one disturbs me deeply. Like if I had somebody to talk to about it and sincerely ask them, do you hear yourself? He's the one.
Yeah. I adored Howard Stern for decades. I mean, I would go to work. I would put a long playing cassette in my car, hit record so I could hear what I couldn't hear because I was at work at my desk. But I'm not surprised by this. He has taken a significant turn. He has become almost everything that he once abhorred, from, kissing up to celebrities to, the guy who fought valiantly for free speech, mostly his own, but still he fought. I don't listen anymore. I don't hear any reports that he's talking about cancel culture or the lack of free speech or the impact it's having on the culture and specifically comedians. I think he's checked out. I think he loves the fact that when he went, hardcore anti-Trump, the media adored him. At some point, everyone wants the media to adore them, wants sort of the mainstream culture to kind of like them. And the mainstream culture hated him for 30 years. And now they're simpatico. So this is just echoing what they want to hear. And he's gotten lots of coverage for it. I'm sure it's mostly, if not fawning, favorable. No one's critiquing him. And it is sad. And it is, it doesn't follow the science for sure. There are lots of complications here. And listen, he's in his 60s now. He's more vulnerable, but he's also always been in great shape. I'm sure he's been vaccinated. I'm sure he could have the best medical technology available to him if he were to get sick. And it's not the Howard Stern I grew up with. That's for sure.
It's just depressing and dispirit. And I think maybe it is. It's just that simple. He has always admitted what an outcast he's felt like. He's always admitted how he's been unliked by people, unwelcome at parties, feels awkward, unloved, and all of that stuff. That psychosis that he always lived out and made him famous. It seems as though he's almost fallen victim to it. The adulation and the adoration from all the people that he used to claim were his enemies. Maybe it was just too intoxicating for even him. Hard to believe, but anyway, yeah.
And, and he's been in therapy for many, many years. He's talked about it. He's certainly a kinder persona now. And listen, he's in his 60s now and he's grown and that's fine. And we're allowed to kind of go to different places. But in a way, this rant was classic Howard, where he would rail against people and be mean and cruel because he often did that. It was often funny. It was often interesting. It was often purely counterculture. He would say the things that you couldn't say. He would play news clips and he would have audio drops of his sidekick Jackie Martling laughing because it was inappropriate. But it was funny that it was inappropriate. I listened. I wasn't mean. I wasn't cruel. I didn't wish horrible things on people. But there was something subversive about poking fun at bad headlines. It was it's just comedy can be ugly and comedy can be raw. And he was all of those things, but he's now none of those things. And he's just ugly sometimes.
Christian Toto is the author of Virtue Bombs, which you can pre-order now. He's at HollywoodInToto.com. Got to ask you quickly about something you wrote last week while I was away. Caught my attention. The Fauci documentary. Tell me about that. I didn't know there was one, although it doesn't shock me.
It's National Geographic is the body behind it. It came out in theaters over the weekend. I'm looking for the box office. I haven't found it yet. By all accounts, I have not seen it, so I always want to be clear about that. By all accounts, it is a fawning portrait of Dr. Fauci. And I have to say, I am a film critic. I am a professional. I would have a very hard time watching this movie because I know the true story, what he's been up to the last year. And to see this adulation about this person who I know they're leaving out most, if not all, the pertinent facts. It would make me sick to my stomach. So I'm kind of looking at it from afar. Maybe it's not my most professional moment, but it comes out the same week. I think it was The Intercept had that report about the gain of function, and it seems fairly clear he was being dishonest in his testimony in Capitol Hill. I can't fathom it. And the critics love it. It's got, I think last time I checked, it was in the high 90s, a favorability rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm just aghast when pop culture lies so brazenly. Yes. We saw it with the Comey rule, the miniseries with the James Comey and on Showtime. I mean, I watched that with my jaw open because I'm thinking, these are all lies. These are all bold-faced lies. But this is what Hollywood, which you said has been swallowed whole by politics, too often produces.
Christian Toto, Virtue Bombs, the new book. Pre-order it. He's at Hollywood and Toto every day. And I know many more things to come. Projects I'm even aware of that I can't tell you about yet. But I want you to come here and tell us about it when we can talk about it publicly, okay?
I definitely will.
Thank you, Christian.
Thanks.
713 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer is streaming live on 990theanswer.com.
Well, 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 well. Speaking of entertainment, and I guess I use the term loosely, although some of her earlier stuff I'll admit to liking. I've got a couple of them on the phone that I'll crank up every now and again when I'm feeling like I want to do something a little dancey in the car or whatever.
That's good stuff, man.
Nicki Minaj, Fast Eddie. Is she a favorite amongst the wedding crowd when you DJ events?
She has two songs that hit pretty hard.
Is she kind of considered yesterday's news in terms of the rap hip-hop scene? Like, is she kind of considered vintage, old school already? Because, I mean, if I know about her and knew she was popular, that means she's probably old. Too young people.
It was getting that way because then it was like almost this like fabricated beef between her and Cardi B. But Nicki Minaj has sort of come back gracefully. I suspect this will end that. But she's been able to hang on, I would say.
All right. How would you describe Nicki Minaj to people who likely do not know her in this audience? And I would guess that's most of this audience.
I mean, she was probably the first in the new generation, the 2000s, of being a pretty rough, pretty edgy, but actually can rap. Like, she can actually rap and fast sometimes.
She is known as a rapper by trade, true?
For sure, yep.
All right. And is certainly culturally speaking, would you say her fan base is majority black? Is that fair to say, or not fair to say, that maybe it's not specific to a demographic? Or put it another way, would you say a large chunk of her fan base is black?
Yes, I would say a large chunk of her fan base is black.
I mean, not exclusively, of course, because as I just admitted, I actually enjoy a couple of her tunes. Yeah. The edited kind. I mean, it's pretty grating. Like, the clean, dancey versions that they'll air on the radio, those are the versions I listen to. I know I'm kind of white bread, but there's only so much. My son listens to some rap, because that's apparently what a lot of his buddies listen to. And I'm not one of these guys that's, you know, I'm not John Lithgow in Footloose. There will be no rap in my car. I draw the line at, look, that stuff's pretty rough and vulgar. You know I'm not nuts about it. So if you're going to play it, I would much prefer you do it in the privacy of your own ears. But I don't want it pumping in your room. I don't want to hear it in the car when I'm riding with you. I don't want to hear it. I don't want your mother to hear it. I don't want your brother and sister to hear it. Like, I get it, you're going to listen to it. I'm not going to spend my day policing you at 16 and a half, what you're listening to. I know you're listening to it, but, you know, consider the content. It's pretty grating. I don't mean, like, a curse word here and there. I mean, it's just effety, 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 F. I didn't even realize there were so many creative ways in the English language to use the F word.
Some of that stuff is pretty darn vulgar.
Very vulgar, and it's and very sexualized, and it's awful. I mean, it's just awful. It's the kind of stuff, like, you know, maybe as a kid you think, I'm getting away with listening to some, and then as you get a little older, you're like, whoa, that's
what I thought. Does the Me Too movement not exist in hip hop?
I guess not, because wasn't she part of that collaboration about the I'm not even gonna get, never, doesn't matter. That's not important. Anyway, we've established who Nicki Minaj is, I think. Nicki Minaj typically is one of these people that will show up at the aforementioned Met Gala. We talked about AOC showing up at the Met Gala in her Am I wrong that AOC is kind of attractive? Is that wrong of me? I know so many people are so violently against her politics, they're not able to admit. It's like Alec Baldwin. I find Alec Baldwin to be one of the most objectionable people personally, politically, in real life, there is. I don't like him as a person at all. I find him loathsome and nasty and mean. However, I think he created one of the greatest television characters ever in Jack Donaghy, and I think he's remarkably funny in 30 Rock, and he's a very talented, funny actor. Can I hold both positions, that someone is attractive and talented but loathsome?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, do you remember Team America World Police? He was the head of FAG, the Film Actors Guild.
The Film Actors Guild. That's right. So that's, you know, same with Nicki Minaj. She's got a couple of tunes I kind of enjoy, whatever. But I'm not, you know, endorsing her body of work or her persona or her politics. She's a Bernie bro, by the way. Nicki Minaj, if you remember. Or is that Cardi B? Now I'm conflating the two. Cardi B's the one that came out to do the interview with Bernie and everything, not yes. Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, it was
okay,
Cardi B.
I'm misremembering. They're kind of one and the same to me, Nicki Minaj and Cardi B. They're of the same genre. We'll just put it that way. Cardi B more new, I guess, to the scene. Cardi B was a stripper or something. Nicki Minaj was not.
Yeah, Cardi B was a stripper.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. Nicki Minaj shows up at these Met Galas along with AOC typically, and all the, this is a CNBC, you know, the Kim and Kanye's of the world, the Jenners, it's all the social media darlings, the multi-million, gazillion, bazillionaires show up at this thing. It's ostensibly a charity auction, but it's $48,000 a head, $48,000 a head. So you might ask, how does a $160,000 a year member of Congress show up at something like that? I mean, even making $160,000, which ain't chump change, you're not dropping $48,000 on that salary for one ticket for one night. But AOC shows up in a pretty good looking dress. She looks great. And stamped across her ample buttocks is "Tax the Rich." Well, Nicki Minaj, the rapper we were just talking about, typically shows up at these things, too. She didn't this year. And, you know, all the celebrity culture was, and all the social media culture was wondering, well, why wouldn't Nicki Minaj show up at the Met Gala? She always shows up at the Met Gala. Well, she tweeted why she wasn't there. Are you ready for this? And I started this story by asking you, Fast Eddie, who was Nicki Minaj most popular with? Is it fair to say she's most popular with black fans? Is that fair to say or not? If not, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I don't have an angle with that. But is it safe to say a huge constituency of Nicki Minaj's is black?
Yes, that's safe to say for sure.
And there's a point in me bringing this up, ladies and gentlemen. Because the statistics bear it out. Every poll has shown it's true, and it's something no one is talking about. When Joe Biden goes to war, when Democrats go to war with the unvaccinated, ladies and gentlemen, the dirty little secret about this war with the unvaccinated, the 80 million of us or whatever they put the number at that have not taken the shot. Do you know a number of those people, a good number of them? I don't know how many, maybe half, maybe more, are black. That's right. You know why? Because there's a sizable number of black people in the population, even right here in Philadelphia, that don't want the shot and don't trust the government and will never take the shot. Yes, it's true. Now, I know you're not hearing that in the lily white suburbs and in the lily white newsrooms of 6ABC and the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Herr Wolf and the Biden administration. I know all these lily white leftists aren't admitting this to you. They want to make you think that it's just MAGA hat wearers and Trump supporters and kook conspiracy theorists and January 6th insurrectionists. Those are the types that aren't getting the shot. That's what they want you to think. But the truth is, Black Americans don't want it. They don't trust it because there's a very ugly history of Black Americans being experimented on. And Black Americans know that. And Black Americans have a healthy mistrust of their government. And I don't blame them even a little bit, do you? So Nicki Minaj said Monday she has not gotten vaccinated. And while she indicated she will get it soon, she claimed a family member got side effects from the shot. A claim that was met with a fair amount of skepticism, says Mediaite. How about this Black woman and her kook conspiracy? Why don't they just write it? They won't dare. Careful, Mediaite. Careful, media outlets that are reporting on this. I'd hate for you to sound so racist, because it sounds to me like you're starting to beat up on a Black woman. Careful. Easy. Easy, easy. Are you so committed to your precious shot that you're going to attack a Black rapper? Good luck, jackasses. You lily white leftists think you're going to get away with attacking Black rappers? You think you're that powerful? You think your draw is so... Do you understand the damage you're doing? I mean, I guess I shouldn't tell them. Do you understand how you create... When a guy like Donald Trump comes along and says, what the hell have you got to lose to Black Americans? And they consider that you uppity, white, privileged Democrats who think you own Blacks lock, stock, and barrel, as you did under slavery, you are the party of slavery after all, Democrats, when you continue to behave as though you own Black Americans, Democrats, do you understand how you create openings for people like Donald Trump? You do. And every time you malign people like Nicki Minaj who say, I don't trust the vaccine and I don't think I want to get it yet, I have questions, so I'm not going to go to the Met Gala because they make people get vaccinated and I don't want the vaccine right now. Do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand what you're saying? So she tweeted, they want you to get vaccinated for the Met. If I get vaccinated, it's not going to be for the Met. It'll be once I feel I've done enough research. I'm working on that now. In the meantime, my loves, be safe. Minaj made the stunning claim that a cousin of hers in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because a friend of theirs became impotent and his testicles became swollen. Minaj did say, oh, good. She followed it up with another tweet because she took such incoming. Because this Black woman dared say something out loud that questions authority. I mean, listen how they talk about her. Listen how you... This is how you talk about a Black woman in 2021? How dare this uppity Black woman question the authority? Why? Do her own research. Okay, well, she did. We bullied and badgered her enough that she did ultimately tweet, I'm sure I'll be vaccinated at some point. And she did recommend that people get the vaccine if there are mandates. Oh, and she asked her followers which vaccine they'd recommend. She received overall a lot of criticism for her comments, especially the very serious claim of unproven side effects of the vaccine. What do they mean, unproven side effects? Did you see the picture Tony Bruno, friend of our show, very well-known, famous sports commentator nationally in Philadelphia, Tony Bruno, If memory serves, I should ask him about this. He got vaccinated, and I believe if memory serves, he put a picture up a couple of weeks ago after he got his second shot of what looked to be like a grapefruit-sized lump under his arm that developed after that second shot. Yeah, it was ugly. Her serious, unproven claim of side effects. Nicki Minaj, Black woman, questioning authority, doing her own research, peddling myths about side effects. You uppity white liberals who run newsrooms, you uppity white leftists who think attacking Black people for having their own brains and mind, keep it. Look, as far as I'm concerned, keep it up. You do the GOP, who refuses to do it for themselves, you do us the great favor. We conservatives, members of the GOP, people like Donald Trump, you provide massive openings when you continue to malign and attack Black Americans for having their own brain and their own concerns and curiosities about this rushed government mandate that we all take a shot.
So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, keep it up and commit political suicide eventually, because black Americans will grow to learn over time that the party that they've continued to vote for decades and decades, doesn't have their best interests at heart. They just want to own them, treat them like property, and tell them, you're to do what we tell you, and you're not to question it. And if you do, we will attack you relentlessly until you submit. You know, much like the Democrats did during the era of slavery and in their opposition of civil rights. Democrats have consistently been on the wrong side of black Americans, yet pretending that they are the advocate of black America. We know that's not true, and we see it again in the way they're treating Nicki Minaj. All right, 732. Telephone number, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Let's take a break, do some traffic now. Tell you what, Fast Eddie, want to give something away?
Yeah, let's do it. Well, actually, it's dealer's choice. Here we go.
Okay, whatever you like in Fast Eddie's prize closet back there behind him. Telephone number, 610-850-0990. Caller 12. You pick, all right?
I am Nicki Minaj. I'm at them dudes up. Back coops up and chuck the dudes up.
Oh, you got my heartbeat running away. Beating like a drum and it's crying away. Can't you hear that boom on my boom on my way? He got that super bass. Boom on my boom on my way. He has that super bass.
740. Thanks a lot for being here on this Tuesday edition of Philadelphia's Morning Answer. My name is Chris Stegall, captain of this ship. Sit back, enjoy the cruise. Telephone number, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Hope you listen. A lot of people listening online, Fast Eddie. We always try to rig our giveaways in such a way so that people listening online who we know are delayed from real-time hearing my announcement when we open the phones for contests, we always make sure that the people who hear the delay, and there is a slight one, our math says it's about 20 seconds or so, right?
Yep.
20, 25 seconds or something from when you hear something over the air versus when you hear it down the line on the stream. So you have artfully figured out how to make it equitable. In this era of equity, you've made it equitable for the online streamer to participate in our contest giveaways. And so with that in mind, who won giveaway?
We had Gerard in Lindenwald, New Jersey.
Lindenwald. Very nice, Gerard. Thanks for listening out there in Lindenwald. We appreciate it. And stay close. We'll continue to do some more giveaways throughout the course of the show and all week long. 610-850-0990. Are there places in Philadelphia you will just simply not go as long as there is a mandate for vaccines? I'm curious. If you are someone who, for instance, regularly attends shows at places like the Kimmel Center, the Academy of Music, the Kimmel, I've seen many, many great shows at those venues over the years, from comedians to the Philly Pops, to the Christmas Spectacular, concerts, plays, Broadway, off-Broadway shows. I got to tell you, I'm thinking about it now. And I wonder if you're thinking about it now. Jer Fauci's about to come out on a podcast. He gave some interview to some podcaster where he said, I would be very much in favor of vaccine approving your papers on a plane. He wants everybody to show that they've been vaccinated to fly. He thinks it's perfectly reasonable to prove you've been vaccinated by showing your papers to the airlines. He does not want you to be able to board a passenger plane at Philadelphia International Airport unless you produce paperwork that you've been vaccinated. Wholly in support of that. Do you think that's coming? And if so, what will be your reaction to that? Will you stop flying? Do we have that luxury? Is that something we can afford to do? Maybe you say, it's worth it. Whatever I got to do, I'm not going to participate in this. So in comparison, you know, I think a lot of us fly. It's expensive, but I think a lot of us do that either for business. Well, in this day and age, I don't know. Maybe a lot of people don't need to fly for business anymore. You can pretty much do your work anywhere. But a lot of people have vacations coming. I mean, look, I know that I would love to take my kids on a vacation. We're literally not, because we just don't know.
We cannot right now bank on what the future holds for not only this nonsense with vaccine passports, but we're not sure, you know, in terms of masking and where we go. Like if it, you know, I don't want to spend thousands of dollars to produce papers and strap a mask to my face for a week. Like if that's a vacation, I'll just stay in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, really,
like that makes it, you know, if that's the rule in Cancun, then I'll just stay in Philadelphia where it's hot and sunny. And, you know, if I want to be, and I'll, you know, have somebody bring me a Corona and we'll just call it, you know, Cancun. Anyway, the Philadelphia Theater Company mandating vaccines for staff, performers and patrons. The mandate goes into effect at the start of the November season. Those not eligible for the shot, like children, can present a negative test. Our industry has been so shaken in the past year and a half. Our best chance going forward is for people to feel safe when they come out. Isn't that strange? People are being assassinated in the streets of Philadelphia every day. I mean, we have a body count at the morgue that is historic. And these idiots at the theater companies are talking about feeling safe when you go out to watch the shows by making sure everybody supports the idea of showing papers for a vaccine. Hey, you theater ninnies, let me tell you a little something. I am more afraid about going into Center City with my wife and children for fear of being mugged or shot than I am of somebody giving me COVID. Just a heads up. If you're so civic-minded about your fellow Philadelphians feeling safe at your stupid little theater show, maybe you should consider the confines of the neighborhood block you find yourselves sitting. And the homelessness and the degradation and the crime all around it. Perhaps if you're concerned about the safety of your patrons who attend your theater performances, maybe that should be your focus before you start worrying about everybody's individual vaccine status. Because this is the equivalent of wearing a ribbon. You understand? This is the AIDS ribbon of the 80s. The vaccine card is the new AIDS ribbon. And it will fade. And it will go away in time. But for now, in order to show that you're virtuous and good and you're trying to keep everyone safe, it is such a stupid, phony lie. But they're one of just 32 theaters in Philadelphia requiring proof of vaccination. New York's Broadway announced this summer audiences would need proof of vaccination. Are you a regular theater goer? And if so, will this stop you from attending? I know the Kimmel said you've got to produce your papers, please. Papers? Have you come to see The Sound of Music? You must first live it in real time by supplying us your papers. You'll get to feel like a real Von Trapp. And I, the theater usher, am like the Third Reich. It's fun. We're like play acting, but for real. Papers, please? You thought you came to see a show. No, it's real life. Papers? How creepy. These idiots know. Is there? I mean, I don't know. It's like AOC showing up with the tax the rich stamped across her butt at the Met Gala yesterday. 48 grand ahead. Like, is irony lost on these people?
Welcome to the Broadway presentation of Sound of Music. Papers, please.
You're checked in?
Yeah, thank you.
Here's your AIDS ribbon.
No, thanks.
You don't want to wear an AIDS ribbon?
No.
But you have to wear an AIDS ribbon.
I have to?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't want to.
But everyone wears the ribbon. You must wear the ribbon.
What you are, you're a ribbon bully.
Hey.
It's a real thing. It was a real thing on Seinfeld 20 years ago, 30 years ago, however long that's been now. 610-850-0990. Genuinely curious, 610-850-0990, will this cause you to stop going to see shows? Broadway shows, comics, theater presentations, the Christmas Spectacular by the Philly Pops, they're all requiring you show proof of vaccination. Will this cause you to not go? Or will you say, I just so love cats. I can't stay away. I love Brigadoon, or whatever the hell they, I don't even know what's on the schedule. I'm just making up shows I know. Cats. I loved it. It was much better than Cats. I'm going to see it again and again and again. Old SNL reference. Or was that SCTV? That might have been an SCTV reference. I think it was. Anyway, 610-850-0990. Are you willing to give up your entertainment? I would, and I also would wonder if our Philadelphia sports venues are going to try this soon. You would have to imagine if the Kimmel Center is doing it, if the arts are doing it, you'd have to imagine that down the street on South Broad, Wells Fargo Center is just around the corner. Flyers, Sixers, and why not the Eagles while we're at it? Papers, please. Would that cause you to stop participating in all entertainment venues in Philadelphia if they go this way? It sure seems like they are. 610-850-0990. I would love your thoughts on this next on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer.
This is Sebastian Gorka. Join me this afternoon at 3 on AM 990 The Answer. And thanks for starting your day the right way on Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stigall.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka. I love that guy. That's the guy you want in the foxhole with you every time. There's nobody else in broadcasting out there like Dr. Gorka this afternoon at 3. All right, telephone number, 610-850-0990. My question is, with all these theater venues, if you really are a fan of going out to shows, Broadway plays, the pops, or if Fauci gets his way and we're all forced to show our papers to fly, will that cause you to stop doing those things? Will you comply? And this is not a statement of whether or not you get the vaccine. Maybe you already did. I'm asking you, are you comfortable with the idea? It's like, this is bigger than just, hey, I got my shot, whatever. I've got my card. I'll produce my paper. Sure. No, are you comfortable with the concept of producing medical papers to attend functions and fly? Is that a comfortable notion to you? This is not a commentary on vaccines. Let's start in Fishtown with Mary. Hey, Mary, glad you called Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. Good morning.
Good morning. Incidentally, the first week of the shutdown in March of last year, I called you and gave you a lowdown on Fauci, if you remember. What to look forward to about the fact that he's constantly covering his rear end. But anyway, I normally go into New York anywhere from 12 to 15, maybe 20 times a year, in addition to Philly for the opera. And this is not inexpensive. The last 10 years or so, there's a lady out of Roxburgh that runs something called Opera Bus. So I haven't had to schlep to Trenton to take the train. And I'm not vaccinated, and I will not get the vaccine. I happen to be a chemist, so I've got some of my own more technical appreciation of what's going on. And I'm giving up something that I've been doing for 25 years.
Wow. Mary, thank you. That's what I'm talking about. I wondered how many people who love it that much, and I know a lot of people do love the theater and they love opera, are they willing to give it up if it comes to that, if they've got to show paperwork? Mary says yes. How about Ann and Glenn Mills? Ann, what do you say? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm giving it up. I'm a season ticket holder at Walnut Street Theater for years. I am actually a former Broadway performer, so I am a theater lover. But this is craziness. I'm furious about it, and I am not complying with what they're asking for. Absolutely not. Vaccinated or not, it's crazy. The whole thing is crazy, and no, I am. I actually won't be going to the theater this year, and I have tickets for the whole season, and my seat will be empty.
Wow.
I'm not giving it back to the theater, because you can then say, oh, take it and give it to somebody else. Absolutely not. I paid for it, but that seat will be empty. I'm just appalled at what's going on right now. I'm seriously appalled. But and again, I've been a theater person. I made my livelihood in the theater for 10 years back in the day. But no, absolutely not.
And thank you. Very talented audience, by the way. We heard from a chemist and an actress. That's pretty cool. Thank you, Anne. But very serious, these women. Nope, not doing it. Love it, not doing it. Gil, Upper Dublin. Gil, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, my comment is that 40% of the American public receives some kind of government subsidy or another. Foremost among them is welfare and food stamps. And that would be an easy thing for Biden to cut off if somebody, unless they were vaccinated. Beyond that, there's Social Security, and why are those he could easily do that. Why is that not happening?
Interesting, Gil. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. That's a very interesting take, as a matter of fact. Limit government resources, taxpayer-funded transfer payments. Limit your Medicaid. Limit your Social Security payments unless you produce the papers. I don't know. That might be a creative new way. But then, of course, that would make a constituency very, very mad, particularly a constituency that's not getting the shot. And again, we talked about that. Who's that constituency? Black Americans.
WNTP Philadelphia. Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer. Download our free mobile app at 990theanswer.com. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Hey, love you, man. You're all we got in Philadelphia.
Hi, Chris. I love your show.
I love your show. And I have to say my wife, who's a Democrat, also loves your show.
Good morning, Chris. Always enjoy your show.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
You've probably been hearing on our radio station, if you've been listening for a while now, we've been running some ads for an upcoming event. The Trinity Health Freedom Expo is what it's called. It's happening October 2nd and 3rd at the Tinley Park Convention Center, Tinley Park, Illinois. And we wanted to bring in Julie Klein, who's the president of Trinity School of Natural Health, to tell us more about the event, if you've been hearing the ads, and what people can expect if they make the trip. And Julie, first of all, welcome in. I should tell people that if they listen and they've heard that ad, that the point of this is something, is it something that people can attend publicly if they wish?
Absolutely. It is a community-driven movement. It is Saturday and Sunday, October 2nd and 3rd. And you can register online, healthfreedomexpo.com, or at the door. And we welcome everyone. It's going to be a great expo this year.
What's the point of it, just generally speaking, if you could, 30,000-foot view?
Sure. It is to come together, to learn, to grow, to support each other, to have options in natural health care choices for yourself as an individual and or for your family. So it's just a great time to learn and to hear about lots of different topics that will be covered. We have four speaking rooms with different lecturers speaking each hour. We have the Health Freedom Panel, also the Mental Health Panel, and we have an exhibit hall with over 50 exhibitors. So there's just something for everyone.
Now, when you say natural health, I'll just be honest with you. I'll just cut right to the chase. I know that there are people who raise an eyebrow and they say, oh, are these wackos that don't believe in medicine and don't believe in science, right? I mean, that's the criticism all the time, that if you talk about natural ways to heal, mm-hmm. if you talk about natural immunity, I mean, these days it seems like there's a group of people that will screech at you that you're anti-science. What do you say?
I say that our bodies are amazing and are resilient. And again, this is all about options. There is a time and place for medicine, for a hospital. But there's also an opportunity that you have at this event to learn on ways to build your immune system, on ways to have a healthier lifestyle. And so we just want people to come and learn and just experience the Health Freedom Expo. This is our 28th expo. And so we're just excited to be back in the Illinois area.
Yeah, I'm blunt about it only because it's gotten so vicious about people's health, you know, their personal health decisions, particularly as it relates to COVID. I just came across this morning, as a matter of fact, before we spoke, a clip of Dr. Fauci doing an interview a couple of years ago on Bloomberg where he was telling this particular interviewer just very much what you said. You know, the question of the interviewer was something like, how can we stave off infectious disease? This was pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And very kind of earnestly and normally and what I would think is somewhat typical, this Dr. Fauci then said, you know, get proper sleep, drink plenty of water, don't drink and smoke. You know, that basically there were things that you could physically do naturally for yourself to improve weathering a disease or an illness if you catch it. Now, that's not in every case, but you know, at the time, he even scoffed at the idea of mask wearing, that nobody needed to be super paranoid, that there were just ways you could behave that gave mm-hmm. you increased odds of staving off or weathering illness should you contract it?
Absolutely. At the event, a lot of the speakers will be talking about the foundations of health, and you are correct. It's getting proper sleep, proper nutrition, drinking, being hydrated, watching the foods that you're intaking and your environment in which you're residing in. So yes, there's lots of options, lots of opportunities for individuals to improve their health, taking it one day at a time.
Is this something you can do online as well, Julie, or was it an attendance, a personal one-on-one only?
If you are unable to attend, we have a virtual event. So we will be recording all of these speakers, and we'll have a virtual exhibit hall. It'll be in February. So if a person is unable to attend October 2nd and 3rd, they can still go to our website after this live event and purchase the virtual pass. And so, yes, they'll be able to take part of all of the speakers and see the exhibit hall virtually.
Julie, I don't mean to get specific on COVID, but I assume COVID is obviously, I mean, you've been doing this a while. I assume this will be the thrust of a lot of discussion, whether you want it to be, whether speakers want it to be or not. So is that covered? How's it discussed?
COVID is. It will be covered. You'll hear about it on the Health Freedom panel that will be mentioned. We've got Judy Mikovits that is going to be there. Also, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She'll be talking about vaccinations. We've also got the mental health panel where we've got Dr. Caroline Leaf, Dr. Todd Frisch, and Jim Evans that will be talking about the effects of COVID and the effects of isolation, what has happened in our school systems, and also adults that used to go to work and work with coworkers, and now changes that have happened in the long-term effects that we will see based on some of the isolation that has happened due to COVID.
Julie Klein is the president of Trinity School of Natural Health. The Trinity Health Freedom Expo is October 2nd and 3rd, Tinley Park Convention Center, Tinley Park, Illinois, if you want to attend in person. Is this can I just cut to the chase and say, is this an anti-vaccine presentation? Are there people that would universally across the board say, do not take this shot? Or is that do you think that's the position of most of the speakers? I'm just curious.
Sure. A lot of it will be information and informative. So it's that you can make an educated choice on what is best for you. So it is just learning and having that option to choose. That's what we're about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what about things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, other prophylaxis that have been discussed out there? A lot of people have, derided those as well, but there seem to be a lot of studies and suggestions out there that those are working.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and even a lot of the exhibitors will have products and services that they will educate individuals on. And so there is going to be a lot of talk about, again, natural health, healthy living, COVID vaccinations, mental health, health freedom, and how to be able to have the options for our family to choose what's right for us.
Yeah, see, at no point, I'll just say on your behalf, Julie, at no point during our conversation have you said no to anything. At no point have you said you're against anything. You are sure. Pro-information, and shouldn't we all be? Shouldn't we all want to seek out all the information and make informed decisions for ourselves? That's what seems to be lacking, is this idea that there's only one kind of information to take in. Any other contradictory information is bad information.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're exposing both sides and, again, just informing people. So our whole goal, my father founded the expo and started it in 2005, and it's all about defending your right to know and freedom to choose. And so how timely of a mission statement is it today that in the world we're living in, I just want people to have choices and have the power to choose, again, what is best for them and their children and their loved ones. So that's what we're all about. I'm very passionate about the expo. So I do hope that everybody can come and learn and grow. And it's a community. The facility itself is allowing us to make masks optional. We will have social distancing. It'll be a safe environment to come and learn from each other.
Julie Klein, president of Trinity School of Natural Health, and that expo is October 2nd and 3rd. Julie, again, the best way people can reach out or participate?
Sure. Go to our website, TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com, or call me at 888-658-3976.
Julie, thanks so much.
Thank you. Oh, I so appreciate you helping spread the word about our event.
To prevent getting an infectious disease and having to have you as my doctor is what? Wearing a mask?
No.
You do that? If somebody's, I can see they're ready to sneeze or cough, walk away?
You avoid all the paranoid aspects and okay. Do something positive. A, good diet. B, you don't smoke, I know. I know you don't drink, at least not very much, so that's pretty good. Get some exercise. I know that you don't get as much exercise as you should.
That's correct.
Get good sleep. I think the normal, low-tech, healthy things are the best thing that you can do, David, is stay healthy.
All right, well, I'm going to try to do that, and hopefully when I next see you, I will be even healthier than I am today.
I would imagine you would be, and I look forward to that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's the clip I was just talking to Julie about that I was watching. That's Dr. Fauci just a couple of years ago, right, Fast Eddie? I don't know the date on that exactly. I think it's like a two-year-old clip, like 2020 or something, 2019. He was on Bloomberg.
2018 or 2019, that clip, yeah.
The question again, this is really critical to listen to. The question from the interviewer at Bloomberg was, what can I do to stave off infectious disease? This was pre-COVID, folks. This was Dr. Fauci pre-COVID and asking, what do I need to do? Put on a mask? How do I stave off infectious diseases? Listen to how cool and chillax the good doctor was a couple of years ago.
To prevent getting an infectious disease and having to have you as my doctor is what? Wearing a mask?
No.
You do that? If somebody's, I can see they're getting ready to sneeze or cough, walk away.
You avoid all the paranoid aspects and do something positive. A, good diet. B, you don't smoke, I know. I know you don't drink, at least not very much, so that's pretty good. Get some exercise. I know that you don't get as much exercise as you should.
That's correct.
Get good sleep. I think the normal, low-tech, healthy things are the best thing that you can do, David, is stay healthy.
All right, well, I'm going to try to do that, and hopefully when I next see you, I will be even healthier than I am today.
I would imagine you would be, and I look forward to that.
Thank you very much.
That's a very different Dr. Fauci, who's now asking for your papers when you board a plane. You know, like, it would make more sense if Dr. Fauci recorded an overhead airport announcement that said, attention all passengers, do not drink or smoke, get plenty of sleep. Like, I would rather that as an overhead announcement in the airport than him saying, I want everyone to supply papers that they've had the shot. That's creepy. The other one, mildly annoying and nanny state-ish, but at least makes sense. Like, remember Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign? And remember how wound up a lot of us got? I actually don't think, on balance, that's that big a deal. I mean, yeah, she made kids eat garbage food at school. But, you know, the idea of encouraging people to exercise and eat well, like, okay, whatever. You know, do I think that's the government's place? No. But is that a highly preferable message from government? Exercise and take care of yourself? Versus, hey, inject this pharmaceutical that we're just figuring out what it does. And by the way, doesn't really seem to achieve what we thought it did. Oh, and by the way, you're going to need to keep injecting that, if you please, every 6 months or so. Oh, which, by the way, when we return, there's heavy debate about that. I don't know if you've heard, but this booster shot chatter, pretty interesting criticism coming from places you would not expect as to whether or not you and I need boosters after we've had the vaccine. And I got to tell you, I know a lot of leftists who ran out and got that vaccine, but they say to hell with boosters. And good for them, because it seems people in science, even those on CNN, seem to agree. Hang on. 610-850-0990, the number, 610-850-0990. Oh, and by the way, some of big business's best pals of Joe Biden seem very concerned about his new threat to force them all to comply with vaccine mandates for their employees. Yes. Totalitarianism is all great in academia, and it's all great at fundraisers when it doesn't apply to your company. But boy, suddenly when you have to implement that in your own company, it's interesting. I mean, this goes back to the robber baron days. You know, you throw in to get a guy like FDR elected, and then all of a sudden you're shocked when he makes you the enemy. This has been happening for a long time, and it's happening again on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer.
All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had, something that you never seen, something that you never been.
Now, more of Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on AM 990 The Answer and 990theanswer.com.
Oh, you thought that was... No, that wasn't an accident. That's a... it's a new gimmick we have on the show. Some eagle-eared observers letting me know they could hear Fast Eddie during the break. And I said, oh, no, that's on purpose. It's our new behind-the-scenes listen. It's a new feature that we do periodically on Tuesdays. We call it behind the scenes of the show. You get to listen in to hear what goes on while we're in break. It's a new feature of the show.
It's also like an ask me anything. So like if you ask and I'll just answer into the ether. So, you know, put it on Twitter and I'll just be like, okay.
You're like the magic eight ball of radio. I like it. All right. Yeah, it's okay. Everything's fine. We've been on, you know, well, I've been away. You've been there. Maybe it's time you go away. I don't know. Anyway, if they allow you. Telephone number, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990, and we're online at 990theanswer.com. Steve Moore, our chief economist, with us for our weekly chat about this bloated, disgusting new tax-the-rich spending bill coming from Biden and Democrats. What's in it exactly? How likely is it to pass? Steve knows how to read the tea leaves on the Hill pretty well, as he was President Trump's financial, one of his financial team and advisors. So he'll give us his take coming up. But I wanted to share with you a couple of stories yesterday that certainly made me sit up and take notice. Did you see... There is great debate amongst those in the scientific community because, you know, people that show up on cable news in lab coats are the ones that we're supposed to trust the most. People who call themselves doctors on CNN are the ones we're supposed to listen to. You're not supposed to listen to Joe Rogan, a podcast host. You're not supposed to listen to people like, Nicki Minaj, who say she's doing research into the shot before she takes it. Don't. You can't listen to people who are just thinking out loud and weighing all their options and talking about alternatives. You don't want to listen to people like Daniel Horowitz, who are guests on the show, or studies from Johns Hopkins that say ivermectin is keeping people from dying in Africa. And yet we don't talk about that here. You don't want to talk about natural immunity and the studies that support the idea that if you've got COVID, something like 120 million of us, by the way, do you know that? Do you know that the CDC's own numbers report that 120 million of us now have natural immunity to COVID?
That's a lot.
From COVID? That's a hell of a lot of us that have been infected in some way with it. Anyway, you should also know that distinguished doctors on places like CNN are showing up now questioning the need for a booster shot. I could have fallen out of my chair yesterday when I saw on CNN, I tweeted a screen grab of this just so you could see it. I put it up on Facebook and Instagram, too. I hope you will watch my Instagram and Facebook and Twitter feed. If you're not, go there. Chris Stigall, all one word, C-H-R-I-S-S-T-I-G-A-L-L. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm constantly posting stuff up there that I see like this. This is Dr. William Schaffner, professor of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Vanderbilt University. Oh, and he's wearing a lab coat, too. So he has a distinguished title from Vanderbilt. And he's wearing a lab coat, and he's on CNN. And you know what he said yesterday? Booster shots are not needed for the general public. Uh-oh. I wonder what producer at CNN loses his or her job over that segment yesterday. A doctor from Vanderbilt shows up on CNN and says booster shots are not needed for the general public. That's a far cry from papers, please, Dr. Fauci. Meanwhile, departing FDA leaders join other experts in arguing against the need for booster shots. This from The Hill, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not reading it from some kook conspiracy right-wing wing nut MAGA site. No, this is from the trusted Hill. none of the current evidence on the COVID-19 vaccine shows a need for booster doses in the general population, according to vaccine experts and internet. There's a buzzword for you. International. It sends shivers down my spine. Not only white lab coats, but foreign white lab coats. That means those are the dreamiest of the academics. Because everybody knows if it's foreign medicine, it's got to be better than domestic medicine. I mean, that's what the left thinks. Everything that's foreign is better. The left thinks everything that's, if it comes out of Europe, well, it's got to be more sophisticated than us. All right, well, if it comes from a globalist organization like the World Health Organization, it's got to be smart. We have to trust it. I mean, that's what they believe.
They did a bang-up job.
Oh, my gosh. They couldn't wait to run to rejoin the WHO and give it money after Trump abandoned the WHO. So according to an international group of vaccine experts from the World Health Organization and the FDA, Marion Gruber, Phil Krause, two longtime FDA officials who've been leading the agency's review of COVID-19 vaccine applications, wrote in a paper published last week, you ready for this? Quote, current evidence does not, therefore, appear to show a need for boosting in the general population in which efficacy against severe disease remains high. Now, what's interesting about this? Marion Gruber, Phil Krause, longtime FDA officials leading the agency's review of COVID-19 vaccines, right? I told you this. So they write a paper that says current evidence does not appear to show a need for boosting the general population. Would it interest you to know that these two people who wrote that are leaving the FDA? And neither of them has spoken publicly about their reasons for leaving a post that they've been at the FDA for a long time. But the announcement came as the agency defended Biden's approach to vaccine booster shots. Now, isn't that interesting? Two long-tenured members of the FDA co-wrote a paper that said there is no need for booster shots. The FDA comes out and defends Biden's stance on booster shots, and these long-tenured FDA members step down and don't tell us why. Well, I think we can start to do the math pretty quickly, don't you? Meanwhile, this is a stitch. Headline from the New York Post, Consumer Goods Group sends letter to Biden questioning vaccine order. The $2 trillion consumer packaged goods industry has questions about granddad's vaccine order. The trade group represents consumer. Are you ready for this? The trade group represents consumer goods giants like Coca-Cola, Kellogg, and General Mills. They sent a letter to the White House Monday demanding immediate clarity on the details of the order, which requires companies with 100 or more employees to mandate the vaccine or get tested weekly. In a letter, Consumer Brands Association CEO Jeff Freeman called on the administration and relevant federal agencies to, quote, move quickly, anticipate challenges, promptly answer questions, and partner with the private sector to achieve our shared goals of increased vaccination rates, strong, consistent collaboration between private and public sector on implementation will accelerate progress on our shared goal. You want to know what this is? Hey, I thought we were on the same team. What the hell are you doing? We just pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta. We just walked the plank and killed our Coca-Cola sales for you, you jackass, over this voter rights bill in Georgia. We threw in with you. Now you're turning around and attacking us. This always happens. Democrats always do this. Remember I told you about that show, the industry that built America, the men who built America. I forget what it's called, but there's several different offshoots of it on the History Channel. It focuses on different industry titans that, you know, built America, DuPont and Chrysler and Ford and,
you know, the Wright brothers and all that. And then it goes into the food that made America. It's a great series. It really does a great job. But they point to the guy. Now I'm trying to remember just exactly who they were. The financial titans of the time during the stock market crash and boom. They went to FDR. They got behind FDR because they thought they'd have a pal in FDR. And what did FDR do? He made them the enemy. He went right at the financial titans that backed FDR, thinking they'd have a pal in him. He made them a populist enemy, and he started attacking these guys that basically went out, handpicked, selected, funded, cheered him on, got him across the finish line, gave him the victory, and FDR turns around and immediately starts walloping the wealthy guys that helped him get there because it was such a popular thing to do. People were struggling out there. They'd had their lives ruined by the total tank of the economy. And so he blamed the rich fat cats, the people that helped FDR get elected. He attacked them. And see, Democrats always do this, and big business always does this. They get in bed with totalitarian types who say, hey, we could really use your help. You know, Georgia's way out of line passing this new voter rights law. We could really use your help. And Coca-Cola says, whatever you want. Sure, Spike. Yeah, sure, sure. We'll do it. What do you want? What do you want? Well, if you could, you know, kind of rough up Georgia a little bit because you're headquartered there and say you don't stand for this and it's racist, that'd be really helpful. Yeah, whatever you want. Whatever you want. And they get the All-Star game moved to Denver or whatever because they think they're getting in the good graces of the Democrats. And then all of a sudden, Biden comes out and says, if you run a company with 100 employees or more, you got to get them all vaccinated per OSHA rules or else. But we had a deal. We just did the thing with Georgia. And yeah, I don't care. Useful idiot. That's what you were. Now I'm going to crush you. And if you defy me, guess what? I've got this rabid lunatic base that loves to be daddied. They love to have masks strapped to their face, and they love me to tell them what to do. They love proving that you got to show papers for shots. I got a whole constituency out there. It'd be a shame if they knew that Coke doesn't support mask mandates and shots for everybody that works for them. Be a real shame if I had to tell everybody, but I helped you with the... Yeah, that was then. This is now Coca-Cola. Get on board Team Biden or else. It's gross. This is what happens. Idiots in private business. Hey, idiots, you big time, big shot, corporate corner office, cologne and cufflink jackasses that run corporate America. When you get in bed with government, this is what it does to you every time. Morons. You're supposed to be the creme de la creme. The Wharton Business School titans. Shut up, idiots.
Chris DeGaul now. Mike Gallagher at 9 on Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer.
Couple of different headlines today. One from The Hill. House Democrats take step back from Biden on tax cuts. From Politico, Dems hurtle toward a new fiscal cliff. That's Politico. Democrats' internal wrangling over a massive new social spending plan will soon be eclipsed by a much more urgent set of problems, avoiding an economic collapse and a government shutdown. We predicted the hyperbolic headlines of, if the Republicans don't join in raising the debt ceiling, the whole economy will collapse. We can't have that. We knew this would happen. We knew that Republicans would be put in a place where they had to support huge spending or else the whole economy would collapse. Meanwhile, this proposal is called now by Drudge, a higher tax rate being proposed than communist China. That was the Drudge headline yesterday. Combined state and federal top tax rates under this proposal for states like New Jersey. Hello, Garden Staters. The top earners in New Jersey would be taxed at a proposed rate of 57.2%. Is that stunning? Higher in New York, of course, 61.2%. California, in the middle at almost 60%. Here to discuss it, our chief economist, our weekly chat with Steve Moore of FreedomWorks. Steve, oh, great to have you back, buddy. Hi.
Hey, Chris, good to be with you. By the way, I'm just still stunned by, I'm not a foreign policy guy, but, oh, my God, Blinken yesterday blaming Trump for the fiasco in Afghanistan? I mean, it's not just laughable. It's sad. These people are do they really think they're going to get away with that?
Well,
blaming Trump for their complete catastrophe? I work for Donald Trump. I know that Donald Trump would never leave Americans behind. No way ever would he do that.
Yeah, do you think he'd pay $64 million in, quote, aid? I think we know what that's about, too.
Exactly. No, anyway, okay.
Well, while we're at it, why not? Let's talk about that for a minute. I have not really talked about the Blinken testimony, but he said, "Yeah, we inherited a deadline. We did not inherit a plan." He said we expect the Taliban to ensure freedom of travel and make good on commitments on counterterrorism, to uphold the basic rights of Afghan people, including women, girls, and minorities.
Right.
Yet he acknowledged that they've already blocked flights. Basically acknowledging there's a hostage crisis, Mark Meadows tweeted. So, I mean, it was embarrassing. And he did it, by the way, over Zoom in D.C. What does that say? That's weird.
Yeah. And look, I mean, the point is, if he didn't want to, he wasn't bound by any agreement that Trump made. I mean, just like Trump wasn't bound by the Paris Climate Accord. He pulled us out of Paris Climate Accord, one of the best things Trump ever did. Biden could have come in and said on day one, "Hey, we're renegotiating this." By the way, the Afghans and the Taliban broke the deal, so Trump would have said, "Okay, you're breaking the deal. We're not complying with it with the deadline." So anyway, it was so small of these people, and they were so brazen to actually think anyone would believe that they can pass the buck on this. When is this president going to, what, you know, Harry Truman had a placard on his desk, "The buck stops here." The buck doesn't stop here with Joe Biden. All he does, everything he does, and it's been one screw up after another, is blame somebody else for it.
Yeah, but he will say the buck stops here. He claims it, that he's a big uniter and the buck stops with him, but then completely does the opposite, blames everybody else and divides us. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I do want to get to the other subject because let me ask. Important. What's going on?
Well, we'll bridge the hypocrisy subject with this. AOC showing up at the Met Gala, a $48,000 a head ticket in a dress that says "Tax the Rich."
Are you making that up, or did she?
Oh, you didn't see this. Have you not seen the dress?
I was flying back from the West Coast yesterday, so I was a little bit out of the news.
Oh, please, would you do me a favor? Would you Google image search right now, AOC Met Gala? She's got a white dress on, and across her butt it says "Tax the Rich" at the Met Gala.
She probably got a standing ovation when she walked in. That's really funny, I will. But speaking of taxing the rich, I mean, this plan that they came out with, and by the way, it was leaked, and we don't know the final details, and they're hiding a lot of the details. I mean, they're so proud of this plan, but they won't tell us what's in it. You know, I guarantee you, Chris, this plan is going to be, by some estimates, 10,000 pages long. 10,000 pages long. They're rewriting the entire legal book of the American the system. And they're hiding a lot of what's in here because they know it's unpopular. Now, if you wanted to transform America, you'd think you would be proud of it, right? Here's all the things we're going to do, but a lot of it, it's being done in secrecy. I saw Kevin Brady, who's the ranking Republican on the Ways and Means Committee, great guy. He helped write the Trump tax cut. He said, "We haven't even talked to these guys in 6 months. They're doing it completely completely partisan way, not telling everybody what's going on." Right now, this is a lesson on how the sausage making gets done in Washington. You've got a bunch of 26-year-old, you know, snot-nosed, you know, Ivy League kids who are left-wing ideologues who are rewriting the laws of America. And so let's spend $100 million on this. Let's spend $100 million on that. Let's give this group, let's give Planned Parenthood $250 million. I mean, they're handing out money like it's candy. This is really, quite an outrage. But about $3 trillion of tax increases, including $1 trillion on, quote, the rich, which are basically small business owners, Chris. I mean, most people in the top 1% of income, they own and operate small businesses. That's what they do. And then you've got the tax on unrealized capital gains. That's never done before. There's a carbon tax in this bill that raises $600 billion over 10 years. Now, Chris, you got to explain to me, how are you going to impose an energy tax on Americans but keep your promise of not taxing people who make less than $400,000?
No. And ultimately, what does this do to you? What does this do to the economy? Ultimately, do you predict, would this cause, you know, for instance, the market to soften? Would this cause price? What do you see happening?
Oh, so this is the greatest part about it. I mean, these people are really shameless. So, you know, are you familiar with something called dynamic scoring of tax bills? Are you familiar with that concept? This is kind of inside baseball stuff. But dynamic scoring is something that I, as a supply sider, have always been in favor of, saying, look, if you cut a tax rate from 60% to 30%, you're not going to lose half the revenue because you're going to get more economic growth. I mean, the economy is going to grow more if you have a 30% tax rate than if you have a 60% tax rate, right? I mean, that's just common sense. Now, we might argue about how much faster will the economy grow, but it will grow more. You'll have more economic activity. And so that's dynamic scoring. And basically, the rule of thumb is that when you reduce tax rates, you're going to get about one-third of the revenue back from just a better performing economy. And so now Democrats are using dynamic scoring for they are saying that a bill that's going to raise taxes by $3 trillion over the next decade is going to grow the economy. So they claim that. I'm not making this stuff up. They think this is actually good for the economy to raise tax rates to their highest level. That you're going to have higher tax rates now, as you were just saying, in United States and states like New Jersey, than you're going to have in China. And they think that's good for the U.S. economy. So these are the people running Washington right now.
Steve, while I was away last week, it was the first time that I actually just kind of really, I don't know, walked about and sort of, if you will, actively participated in the economy, you know, and paid attention, you know, not in a hurry trying to get to work and get here and there. I was actually able to just kind of walk about and look observationally at things.
Yeah.
I couldn't get past, Steve, the now hiring signs, the labor shortages, the lines, the fact that these fast food joints that are open, you know, like Taco Bell, for instance. Here was like just one analogy. I was going through Taco Bell for my kids, and there was this handmade sign at the Taco Bell that said, sorry, not open late, closing at 11, you know, labor shortage. A Kentucky Fried Chicken, they were out of chicken. There was a Kentucky Fried Chicken that closed at like 6 o'clock in the evening on a Saturday. Like, this is going on all over the country still, this labor shortage thing. And I can't figure out what that means long term.
So, you know, I had a similar experience this past weekend. I was in Las Vegas for a major financial conference. And so, I was just walking down the strip there, and there's a big, hotel there, and it said a huge sign, now hiring $1,000 signing bonuses. $1,000 signing bonus to work behind the desk or to help clean the rooms and things like that. $1,000 just to sign? I mean, that's what Major League Baseball players get, you know. I mean, it's amazing.
What does that tell us?
Well, what it tells us is this, that that we still have a big problem getting people back to work. And the reason we're having a hard time getting people back to work is because, of course, we've been paying all these welfare benefits. And this is one of my biggest, I mean, there's so many horrid, horrible things in this $3 trillion spending bill. By the way, it's really $5 trillion. What they do is they say, oh, we're only going to count like $3 trillion of the spending. Did I lose you?
Nope, I've got you.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, they say, oh, we're going to, it's really $5 trillion over the next decade, but they're only going to cost, they say that their new health care programs, those are going to expire after 5 years, but we know that's not going to happen. But it's amazing how much they are willing to spend and borrow now. And we already have a national debt, including the debt in the Social Security and Medicare trust funds, of over $30 trillion. So by some estimates,
this plan that Biden is talking about will raise the national debt by another $10 trillion over the next 10 years. I mean,
wow.
I don't know. I just find it to be so reckless and so contrary to the American idea. And my point was about what we're doing now is, you know, it was under Bill Clinton, who was a Democrat, and Newt Gingrich, who was the Speaker of the House. We passed bipartisan welfare reform, which basically said, yeah, we're going to give you benefits. We're not going to let people go homeless. We're not going to let people, you know, go hungry if they lose their job. But these benefits are going to come with conditions. And one condition, you got to be either looking for a job or you got to be getting a job, right? We've gotten rid of all the work requirements under all these programs. In fact, you know, they don't care if you're looking for a job. They don't care if you can turn down jobs and still get welfare under the Biden plans. This is having a very, very negative effect on not just the economy, not just the small businesses, but these families. You've got people now, Chris, who haven't been working for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And they're living off the government.
Yeah, Steve, I so appreciate your take on this. I just, you know, when you see this massive spending, massive tax increases on job creators, at the same time, people literally cannot get jobs filled and people aren't working. That seems like it's
10.9.
It's Chris,
the latest number is 10.9 million job openings, 8 million unemployed people. Why is this so hard? Now, so look, some of those jobs are, you know, very high-skilled jobs that people may not have the skills for, but a lot of them are just basic. You know, there's millions of jobs opening in construction and manufacturing and trucking. In Texas, I was in Texas, they offer $100,000 a year with benefits for trucking jobs, and they can't get people to fill them, $100,000.
Steve Moore is our chief economist. He is FreedomWorks' chief economist. He joins us each and every week. It's a pleasure to talk, as always, Steve-O. Thank you.
Yeah, Chris, the bottom line here, what we've got going on right now is an assault against free market capitalism and a lurch towards socialism. We cannot allow that to happen.
We'll talk next week. Thanks, Steve.
Okay. See ya.
Apparently, Joe Biden went to California yesterday and called our friend and colleague Larry Elder, quote, the closest thing to a Trump clone. CNN talking about that this morning. Larry Elder is the closest thing to a Trump clone. And to that, I say, congratulations, Larry Elder. That is a tremendous, tremendous compliment from Joe Biden and CNN. Also, this little nugget, Jim Breuer, you know him, the stand-up comic, former SNL alum? Interesting little bit of news. It's going to take more
this
of this, too.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia.
I'll tell you on the podcast. See you tomorrow.
The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.